very, very, very bottom of Bays Amud Bays. We still talking about the Machlokas Tum of Yossi and Yochanan, etc. And the Gemara now says the following. So Amar Rav, Leisa Lamasnisin Mikame Braisa. Our Mishnah doesn't hold water. Rav Yossi's opinion in Mishnah is problematic, basically, because of the following Braisa, where it seems to contradict himself. Why? Desanya, because it's taught in the Braisa. Rav Yossi Omer, Androgynous Birya Bifni Atzmahu. V'loichriyu bo chachamim im zachar im nekeva. Because Rav Yossi says in the Braisa that androgynous is not a zachar, an androgynous is not a nekeva, it's not a man, it's not a woman, but rather it's its own creation, it's its own thing. And the chachamim were never able to determine whether or not it's a zachar nekeva. And this is a problematic because, after all, we said before that the shita of Rav Yossi was that we treat the androgynous basically as a zachar. All right, that's Rav Yossi held that the androgynous was able to be machil the person he would marry, etc. Because he held that if it was that androgynous kohen he marries a bais Yisrael, she could eat truma. So what are we gonna do? So what is it? Rav Yossi held in the Mishnah that androgynous is like a zachar. And but now we have a Bryce which says Rav Yossi held that we don't know which one of an androgynous is. So answers the Gemara as follows. Adar Rabba, just the opposite. Leisa la Braisa, mikam masnisin. So he says, no. You got it wrong. It's not that the Mishnah opinion of Rav Yossi is invalid because of his opinion in the Braisa. The opposite. The opinion in the Braisa is invalid because of the opinion in the Mishnah. It's the same problem. But it's just a different way of looking at it, right? Meaning the Mishnayos in general, are the codified, Torah Shebaal Peh that you and us put together. If you're in a Braisa, by definition, you were like a little bit left out, right? Braisas are still valid, but they're not as authoritative, maybe, sounds like, as a Mishnah. So no, it's fix the Braisa, don't fix the Mishnah. So answer the Gemara, I'll explain it to you. Midashavkir biyosi labarzugei, Shmamina Hadarbe, right? Meaning the fact that Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, right? Rabbi Yossi had a partner, right? Barzuga, he had a partner in the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon, together. Their opinion was together. Right? So at first Rabbi Yossi had a barzug, he had a partner who held the same opinion as he did. And then it comes to the price that you see already it's Rabbi Yossi by himself. So what does that mean? So you see that Rabbi Yossi broke rank, right? So meaning you see that he changed his mind, meaning the fact that he had a partner in the original in the Mishnah, and now later on in the Braisa, he's just by himself. So you see that the place where he changed his mind was Taka in the Braisa. We are beginning the six line down on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, fine. So the bottom line is we still have a problem. We have Rav Yossi, Rav Yossi. In the Mishnah, Rav Yossi and Braisa disagree. So at this point, the Gemara seems to come to the conclusion that you're right. Rav Yossi changed his mind, and he changed his mind in the Braisa, and that's what Rav Yossi really holds, that an androgynous is bir b'fnei atzma. It's its own creation, its own creature, and not a zachar, not a keva, which would mean that we consider him like a suffix.
So right now we're saying that the Braisa is, call it later than the Mishnah.
Right. We always don't know. Right.
Right. But that's the assumption that they're making. Right.
If at one point, and again, you could argue with this, right? But the argument is that because he changed it, at one point he changed his mind. So which one do you say changed his mind? So right. The one where he's by himself now would seem to be where he changed his mind.
Okay.
Right. Fine. Fine. Shmuel Amar. So Shmuel says a different approach. So again, this first whole opinion was Rav, right? Now, not surprising, who always argues with Rav? Shmuel always argues with Rav. So now we have an opinion of Shmuel. Shmuel Amar Leisa Labraisa Mikame Masnisin. Right? So Shmuel says this contradiction, the opposite direction. The Braisa says nonsense, because what we know about the Mishnah. Right? The Braisa says that androgynous is Birfin Atzma makes no sense, because after all, we know Yossi holds that an androgynous, in a certain sense, is like a Zachar L'chol Davar. And the response was Adrabah, just the opposite. No, what do you mean? The Mishnah makes no sense when it comes, you know, in the face of the Brisa. The Ha Shamina Leila Shmuel, the Chayish Liyichida, right? Because we know that Shmuel, in general, is Choshesh. We say we're Choshesh for the Yachid, right? When is it that we're Choshesh for the? Meaning we typically are concerned for the opinion of an individual opinion. And Hani Mili Kilo Misakra Masnisen. Avalki Misakra Masnisen Lochaish. Well, when is that? When is that we're concerned for the opinion of a Yachid? Meaning that sometimes if you have, you know, one opinion, you'll say, you know what, we don't really necessarily think that Yachid Rabbim Halach Karabim, right? If we have a singular opinion, so we don't pass them the way we pass them like the majority. But sometimes you have a minority opinion, which is a Chumrah. So if the minority opinion is, says, you know, maybe a little bit more careful. So we sometimes will paskin to be choshesh for the chumrah of that yachid. But that's only when, that's only true when it's not uprooting the opinion of a mishnah. Right? But when it's coming to uproot the opinion of a mishnah, then I won't be choshesh for that opinion. So the point being that now the brisa, right, Rios's opinion where he's by himself. Right, he's a yachid. It's actually uprooting the opinion of a mishnah, which has him not by himself, has him together with a barzuk. Fine. So that's the way Shmuel has this working. But either way, we have a problem with the mishnah and the brisa. So Amrei Bei Rav Mishmei the Rav. So they said from the base medrash of Rav in the name of Rav. What did they say? Halacha Rabbi Yosi ben Draganis ubar kava uShmuel Amar beKoshi ubeKiddush. Okay, so Rav says that we pass the name of Yosi when it comes to Draganis and it comes to Harkava. We're going to see, you know, Harkava means grafting. We'll see in a second. And Shmuel says in the case of Koshi and in the case of Kiddush. So we're going to have to explain what each of these cases are. Fine. So the Gemara is going to go through what different cases are. So androgynous, hadamin. So androgynous is, we know what androgynous is. That's the case we've been talking about all along, right? Harkava, so meaning that we pass like Rav Yosi, we're choshesh for the sheet of Rav Yosi when it comes to androgynous. Fine. So harkava, what about harkava? What about the case of grafting? This none. Because the Mishnah says as follows. Einotin velo mavrichin, sorry, einotin ve'ein mavrichin ve'ein markivin erev shvius pachos b'shloshim yom l'fin Rosh Hashanah. So what's the halacha? You're not allowed to plant. Like the halacha is you're not allowed to plant during shvius, during shemitah. Right now it's shemitah year. Not allowed to plant during shemitah. Not only allowed to plant during shemitah, you can't plant less than 30 days for. And Rosh Hashanah is the determination of when shemitah begins. So in terms of our actions, right? The things we're not allowed to do during the Shemitah year. So I can't plant something. I also can't be mavrich. What does it mean to be mavrich? So mavrich means they would take vines and they would like bend them over and stick them into the ground. Like it's already growing out of the ground and you take it and plant it into the ground in another place. So you can't do that that you can't do either. Ve'emarkivin, right? Markivin, you can't graft. You can't take, you know, two trees together and put them together and plant them in the ground. All these things. And this has nothing to do with kilayim or things like that. Just in terms of Shemitah. Erev Shvius, when we're dealing, you know, in Elul before Shemitah, if it's less than 30 days for Rosh Hashanah. Why less than 30 days for Rosh Hashanah? The presumption being that within 30 days of Rosh Hashanah, it takes 30 days, we're going to see in a second, for the item to kind of take root. And if you have done it in less than 30 days, you haven't given it enough time, and what's going to happen is the item will start taking root actually when Shemitah has already begun. Right? So it'll be as if you planted on Shemitah. V'im nata, and if you did, v'hivrich, v'hirkiv, and you grafted, etc., you bent the plant over and stuck it in the ground, all those things, yeah, accord, you have to actually rip it up. You have to rip it up because it's continuing to take root. So you have to rip it up before, afterwards. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Kol har kava she'ina koletes b'shlosha yamim shuv eina koletes. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, for the 30 days. Any time that you've grafted something and it doesn't take within 3 days, so it's never going to take. So you don't really have to worry about 30 days. As long as it's more than 3 days, basically, you don't have to worry about it. Because if it hasn't taken within those 3 days, it's never going to. So again, because my whole concern is, well, I put it in now, nothing's happened. But if I leave it there, so it might take. And so it's, as long as you give yourself 3 days before Rosh Hashanah, then you don't have to worry about it. If it's really going to take it, it will have taken already. And if not, then it's not never going to. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, our same Barzuk, Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon, Omrim Shtei Shabbosos. No, not 3 days, but actually 2 weeks. But Amrav Nachman, Amrav Rabba Baravua, and says Rabbi Nachman, in the name of Rabba Baravua, Ledivre Omer Shloshim, Tzarech Shloshim, Ushloshim. This is not 30, this is not 3, this is not 2 weeks. This is, everything is a month plus, right? So says Rav Nachman, the one who said shloshim, 30 days, they meant 30 days plus another 30 days, really 60 days. Divrei Omer shlosha, the one who said 3 days, tzarech shlosha u'shloshim, that's 33 days. Divrei Omer shtei shabbosos, tzarech shtei shabbosos u'shloshim. So 2 weeks meant 30 days plus 2 weeks. Fine, that's what they're really referring to, and that's the amount of time that it really takes. Look at Rashi, says tzarech shloshim u'shloshim, on the right side. Says Rashi, it's like sort of smack in the middle of the skinny lines. Kadesh tiklot shloshim mifnei shvius, right? Meaning you needed to take root 30 days before Shemitah begins. The kol shloshim mifnei shvius kishvius damu. Meaning he's saying it's not machlokas about how long it takes things to take root, right? Well, how do we deal with these 30 days, right? So are these 30 days sort of the buffer, and as long as you get in. Before actual Shabbos, fine. Or no, it's like the 18 minutes before Shabbos, right? Like, is the 18 minutes the halacha? Or no, 18 minutes there is a buffer. Make sure you don't get it. You don't do malacha before Shkia. Right? Same thing here. So like, he's saying no. You need 30 days. Shloshim mifnei shloshim. The kol shloshim mifnei shvius. Because Shabbos, once you're in the 30 days, once you're in 29, 28 days before Shabbos, it's already like a Shabbos. It's already like a Shemitah. The nafgalan mibi charish ubakatzir tishpos b'mashkin beis hashalchim. Right, so the Gemara makes a drasha there, but the point being that that the 30 days, you don't even want to touch the 30 days. So it's 30 days before the 30 days. Okay, and Gimel Valamid says Rashi, Gimel Klita Shetiklot Kodem Zman Isser. Same thing, 30 days, 3 days before 30. So yeah, well, or you want to say that, or those 30 days actually have the drasha is perhaps that the drasha is that within 30 days of Shvi'ah is already like the beginning of Shvi'ah.
Because
it's in the Torah itself, based on the drasha. Right? It's a drasha, so that's 30 days before Shavuot. It's not a buffer. It's not like the 18 minutes before Shabbos or whatever, right? It's actually Shavuot itself, right? Maybe it's there's a different status in the days of Shavuot, but it's considered like Shavuot, right? Okay, So that's the case of Harkava. Okay, that's Harkava and. Harkava, yeah, fine. We did our drunkenness, we did Harkava. We passed like we will see by our drunkenness and Harkava. So now Shmuel talked about Koshi and Kiddush. With Shmuel Amar b'Koshi u'b'Kiddush. So what's Koshi? D'tnan kam lihei kishuya v'meir omer or arbaim o chamishim yom. So we're talking about the following case. So basically the halacha is, let me try to get this in before we have to stop. The halacha is in general, look at Rashi for a second. Kam yehei kishuya, the kaimalam benida de araisa, hamakasha besoch yud alf shebenida lenida. So what are we talking about? So there's a general concept which we don't apply really almost ever halakha lamaisa anymore. That there's something when a woman bleeds, right? She did in the bimei chazal, and it was always in really mid de araisa. There's what's called Nida days and Ziva days. It's the same thing. It's always blood. It's not some different item, different substance coming out of her body. But she can be considered what's called a Nida, or we call what's called a Zava. But it doesn't make a difference. For a man, when a man's a Zav, it's a different substance coming out of his body. For a woman, it's all blood. But it has a different status. And that is that when a woman is during her Nida days, So there, and these days are sort of like objective. It's actually machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban, exactly how you count them. But Nida days are 7 days, and 11 days are, and then the next 11 days are Ziva days. So the point is, when a woman becomes sees dam during her quote Nida days, so she just has to finish up the 7 total days that she's in the middle of. So she sees, you know, she sees blood during day 3, just has to wait till the end of day 7, and then she goes to the mikvah. If she sees dam when she's in her ziva days, so that's when you have this rule. If she sees dam for 3 days, she becomes a ziva gadola, and then she needs 7, what's called shiva nakiyim, which we know today is everyone does this, no matter when they see, but shiva nakiyim in order to become tahora. But the point being that all this is only true if she sees that dam not during what's called yemei tohar, after a woman gives birth, and when a woman gives birth, so she's for a boy, she's tamei for 7 days. For a girl, she's tamei for 14 days. And then after those 7 or 14, depending if it was a boy or girl, she has for a boy 40 days of what's called yemei tohar, which is time when even if she bleeds, she's totally tahora. This midaraisa that she totally that bleeding has no ramification at all. And if for a girl, it's actually 80 days, or 66 days that she no longer again if she bleeds, it doesn't make any difference because again it's called the yemei tohar. So the question is going to be, and we're going to have to talk about it more next time, is how does the Zimei Tohar, how do they connect to the question of whether she was already, how do these all these days start if a woman's already in labor? And does the amount of the time that she's in labor, does the bleeding there count to impact her becoming a neder or not? And we're going to run out of time here. So we'll stop here, and we'll pick that up next time.